Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on iHeart or Radio MD or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much. 50,000 of you a week can't be wrong. Our guest today is someone who I believe deserves a Nobel Prize, and I've nominated him for such and talked about it publicly, and I don't have any restriction in doing that. Our sponsors, of course, are Life's First Naturals. Go to their website for the reason I take both True Biotics and Bovine Colostrum. They have what Dean specializes in, randomized controlled studies showing a benefit greater than risk. And the other sponsor is longevityplaybook.com. Sign up for the newsletter, weekly newsletter, 250 words, two bullet points, and a great cartoon every week. As I said, Dean Ornish has really been the father and mother of lifestyle medicine for reversing cardiovascular disease. And now he's ventured and shown in another randomized controlled trial. And these are really difficult to do. So that's probably the most impressive thing. And he's also done cancer with prostate cancer. That lifestyle changes, that is stress management, food choices, avoiding unforced errors, sleep, as well as physical activity, when combined, can make a huge difference in how well and how long you work, you live, and by changing which of your genes are functioning or not. So, Dean, I can't obviously thank you enough for all the work you've done for all of us in leading the way in lifestyle medicine. Let me go through. This is a difficult study to do. You've done a study on Alzheimer's disease, randomly allocating, as I take it, 51 people to either a lifestyle intervention or wait for the next lifestyle intervention group to come along. And you screened over 1,500 people, I think it was. These aren't easy studies to get the 51 people. How did you go about doing this?
Well, thank you. And thank you for your kind introduction and for our decades of friendship, and which I treasure. So this was really probably the hardest study that I've done in the last 45 years. As you know, we've shown that these same simple lifestyle changes, eat well, move more, stress less, and love more, can not only prevent, but often reverse the progression of so many of the most common and costly chronic diseases. And everything we've done was the first time that had been shown. And that, to me, is part of the value of doing these studies, is that properly done and published in the leading journals can redefine what's possible. And by doing so, can give, you know, many people new hope and new choices. And that's especially true for Alzheimer's, because unlike the earlier work we did showing that heart disease was often reversible, or early stage prostate cancer or type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure or things like that, nothing really works for Alzheimer's. You know, they spent billions of dollars in the last 20 years. Only three drugs have received FDA approval for treating Alzheimer's, and all three simply slow down the rate at which you get worse. And not even by that much. And they're very expensive. They're up to $30,000 a person per year. And they have side effects in many cases, like, you know, bleeding into your brain. So most people who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's are told, I'm sorry, the best we can do is maybe slow it down a little bit, but you're going to get worse. Get your affairs in order. And it's devastating, because when you lose your memories, you lose everything. I saw this in my mom and all of her siblings. I have one of the APOE4 genes myself, so I have a personal interest in this. So what we were able to show for the first time was that by making these same intensive lifestyle changes, that the progression of early stage Alzheimer's could often be improved rather than getting worse over time. Not every patient got better, but 71% of the patients, using one of the four major measures of cognition, stopped or improved the progression of their Alzheimer's disease, whereas 68% of the control group patients got worse. And we used the four measures that are used in the FDA drug trials, and three of the four measures showed significant differences in terms of improvement, whereas all four measures worsened in the control group. So I think these findings are giving many people new hope and new choices that we didn't have before.
Dean, let's go into this. You took 51 people and randomly allocated them to two different groups. And one group was the intervention group. What'd you do in the other group? And then one of the things that was really important is you assess their cognitive function before they started, and they had what we would call minimal cognitive dysfunction or early Alzheimer's disease with a MoCA after the great test that was developed in Canada of 18 or more. So these were not exactly the first day of having this, but they weren't progressed to the point where they couldn't function.
That's right. So it's a randomized trial. And as you know, in any study, whether you're looking at a lifestyle intervention or a drug or a surgical or device or whatever, the question you're always trying to answer is this a real finding or is this due to chance? And by convention, if the likelihood that it's due to chance is really small, 5% or less, it's considered a real or statistically significant finding. So how do you get that? Well, either you get big changes that are consistent in a smaller group of people, like what we found, or more smaller changes in a larger group of people. But they're both equally considered valid in terms of whether they're real findings or not. And the fact that we showed statistically significant improvements in cognition in the people who made these lifestyle changes in only 20 weeks, whereas overall people got worse in the randomized comparison group, shows that there's a real finding here. We also found that there was a dose-response correlation, that the more people change their lifestyle, the more they improved at any age, which is what we found in our earlier studies.
Now, tell us the lifestyle changes you made.
The lifestyle changes we made were the same ones that we've used in all of our studies over the last 45 years. It's a whole foods, plant-based diet that's low in fat and sugar, basically fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, things like that, minimally processed. Moderate exercise, walking for a half an hour a day or an hour three times a week, meditation and yoga-based stress management techniques for an hour a day, and support groups to help create a safe environment or to reduce it to its essence to eat well, move more, stress less, and love more. So one group we asked to make these changes, we actually provided them all their meals for them and their spouse for that time for the 20 weeks. The comparison group, we said, look, just don't make any changes. Do what you normally do. Don't change your medications. Don't change your lifestyle. We test both groups at the beginning, at the end, and we compare them. And we found that overall, there was improvement in cognition in one group and worsening in the other. Now, why that's important is that we talked a little bit about earlier was that the drugs only slow down the rate at which you get worse, but getting worse more slowly is still getting worse. And so what people are usually told is, I'm sorry, Mike, you've got Alzheimer's. And these people, most of them had early dementia. It's likely only to get worse. At best, we can slow down the rate at which you get worse, get your affairs in order. There's not a whole lot we can do. And it's devastating because when you lose your memories, you lose everything. It's almost like the brain starts to shut down as an adaptive response and almost becomes self-fulfilling. Because of that, the suicide rate within the first month of being diagnosed with Alzheimer's is 7 times higher than usual because they take people's hope away. And yet what we're able to show now for the first time is while not everybody got better, over 71% of people could at least stop it or improve it. And that can give many people new hope and new choices that they didn't have before in the area that matters most.
Now, this was 20 weeks.
Correct.
Are you continuing to follow these people? Are they continuing the program? What's happening? Is there a follow-on study? And I know the control group is now getting the treatment.
Yes. So what we've also learned that the longest you can keep people in a control group without having them change too is about 20 weeks. And of course, if both groups change, you can't show any differences between them. And so what we said was, if you end up in the control group, just do what you've been doing for 20 weeks, and then we'll give you the program for 40 weeks. And if they ended up in the intervention group, we test them at the beginning after 20 weeks, and then again after 40 weeks. So we reported the first 20 weeks, which was really a randomized trial. Later this year, we'll be reporting the 40-week findings where everyone has been getting the intervention.
Now, Dean, is this available anyplace else? Can we go on the internet and get this from you? How do we get this if we aren't part of the study group?
Well, right now, it's the same program that's outlined in my latest book and really in all of my books, but the latest book is called Undo It, which I co-authored with my wife and partner, Ann Ornish. And it has the same, it's exactly the same program. So you can do it from reading the book. We also are beginning to make it available virtually through Zoom. You know, Medicare has been covering my reversing heart disease program since 2010 when we do it in bricks and mortar sites, as we did with you, for example. when COVID hit, we began doing it by Zoom. And if anything good came out of COVID, it was learning that it worked just as well when we did it by Zoom as when we did it in a hospital or clinic. And so that really was a game changer, because now you don't have to live near one of the hospitals or clinics. Well, you can live anywhere. We can do it from the comfort of your own home. Medicare has been covering it for people with heart disease. They're not yet covering it for people who have early Alzheimer's disease. We hope that they will be, because it's exactly the same program. They would just need to broaden the eligibility criteria. And they're going to be spending $5 billion on this one drug, lecanemab, that, as we talked about, only slows it down. So they're open to considering coverage, which we hope they'll be doing.
And has some serious side effects too, as you point out, brain bleed. And although the drug costs $30,000, the testing for the year and the treatment averages $70,000. So Medicare gets to pay $100,000 for something that doesn't work very well, as opposed to this is virtually, it's not quite free, but it's virtually free.
That's right. And if you, you know, and the only side effects were good ones. You know, your heart disease gets better, your diabetes, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your weight, all these kinds of things.
Yeah, that's right. The side effects are good. You prevent heart disease and stroke and maybe decrease your cancer risk at the same time. One of the things that was interesting to me is when I looked over the literature, one of the few things that also seemed to work in Alzheimer's disease was therapeutic plasma exchange. Have you thought of combining these? You added some supplements to this. Have you thought of combining, for example, therapeutic plasma exchange in this in another study?
Well, you know, that's a pretty radical intervention. And, you know, my approach has been, you know, that our body can often begin to heal itself and much more quickly than we had once thought possible if we can make big enough lifestyle changes. And that's what we found here. The Undo It book that I mentioned earlier says, why is it that these same lifestyle changes can beneficially affect and often reverse so many of the most common and costly chronic diseases? And the answer is that they're not really so different. They all share the same underlying biological mechanisms, things like chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, changes in the microbiome and telomeres and gene expression and so on. And these mechanisms in turn are directly influenced by what we eat, how we respond to stress, how much exercise we get, and how much love and social support we have. So what we've showed here is that without the expense and the potential risks of drugs or therapeutic plasma exchange or more radical interventions like that, that simply by changing lifestyle, that our bodies often can begin to heal. Now, whether there might be additional benefits by combining lifestyle with drugs or lifestyle with therapeutic plasma exchange, time will tell. But what I like about this intervention is that, again, these are things that really don't cost, it doesn't cost anything to walk, to meditate. It's a less expensive way to eat. It doesn't cost anything to love more. These are things that you can begin doing now, knowing that, as we said, the only side effects are good ones, and there's a good chance that this can help. It'll also help with prevention. You know, there are new artificial intelligence-assisted technologies that can, through the changes in your voice or looking at your retina, can predict with pretty good accuracy 10 years before it becomes clinically apparent if you're likely to get Alzheimer's. But a lot of people say, why would I want to know if I'm likely to get such a horrible disease if I can't do anything about it? But if we show that we can often stop or even reverse the progression of early stage Alzheimer's with these lifestyle changes, the chances are that they'll probably work even better to help prevent them. And you probably don't have to make such big changes to prevent disease as you do to help reverse it.
You anticipated and almost answered the question I was going to ask you next, which is you measured a blood test. But now there are three blood tests in front of the FDA that one of which at least says it can predict it with about a 90% accuracy 20 years in advance, 20 years before clinical symptoms occur. And we expect sometime in September or October, one of these will get approved by the FDA, one or more of these. So it seems to me the demand for something like this could increase radically if physicians do this. One of the problems has been getting people to adhere to this. It seems maybe the brain is a stronger adherence point than the heart.
Well, you know, it's like, what's the more radical intervention, to change your lifestyle or to take drugs that can often cause bleeding or brain swelling or things like that that don't even really work that well? So whether or not people decide to do that, this is really up to them. But now we can show for the first time that if you're willing to make these changes, and, you know, we have data on over 15,000 people who've done this for their heart, you know, then in some ways it's actually easier to make big changes than small ones, even though that's counterintuitive. Because when you change a lot of things in your lifestyle at the same time, as you know from your work, Mike, you generally feel so much better so quickly in ways that really matter. In the case of heart disease, the chest pain or angina often goes away within a couple of weeks. So for someone who can't go back to work without getting chest pain or make love with their spouse without getting chest pain or play with their kids or do all the things that make life worth living, and within a few weeks you can do all those things, they say things like, you know, I like eating junk food, but not that much, because it reframes the reason for changing lifestyle from fear of something bad happening years down the road, like a heart attack or stroke, to joy and pleasure and love and feeling good, that what you gain is so much more than what you give up, because these mechanisms that control our biology are so much more dynamic, especially when you make big changes. And the same is true for Alzheimer's. You know, if you're told that nothing can be done, which is what most patients are told, except maybe slow it down a little bit, but you're going to get worse and worse, it's such a terrifying thing. But now we can say, look, by simply changing your lifestyle, you can often stop it and even in many cases improve your cognition and function. We have people who say things like, you know, I used to love reading books and I had to stop reading them because I would read a paragraph and I'd forget what I read. I'd keep starting over. It would take me a month to finish a book that now I can do it in 2 or 3 days, you know, or I can balance my checkbook, or I used to not be able to cook because I kept leaving the burner on. I was afraid I was going to set the house on fire. Now I can. So again, for many people, these are choices worth making, not just to prevent something bad from happening years down the road, which is hard to sustain, but that what you gain is so much more than what you give up and how quickly that can occur.
Thank you for doing this study for all of us and for all of the world. You have made another major study and major difference in our understanding of medicine, our understanding of how our genes and epigenes function to let us, by our actions, by our lifestyle, control how long and how well we live. And just for our audience of 50,000, if you have a chance, write the Nobel Committee in Sweden that Dean Ornish is someone who deserves the Nobel Prize in medicine. There is no doubt in my mind you do that, Dean. Thank you very much for doing all you've done and for doing this study. It is remarkable.
Thank you, Mike. And if people are listening, want more information on our work, just go to ornish.com. And thank you so much for the chance to be of service in such a meaningful way. Deep appreciation.
Thank you. And you can't see me right now, but I'm holding my heart for you, Dean. Thank you very much. And especially thank you, our audience, for listening. And again, we'll be back next week. This has been 1213B. You'll want to listen to the A segments, which are the latest medical news of the week. But this is a classic, and Dean Ornish is one of the most substantial people in the world of science. So thank you, Dean, for being on.
Deep appreciation, dear friend. Thank you.
Thank you.